This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Governor Scott Walker's proposed budget includes a number of items that could impact the University of Wisconsin system in different ways. It's facing a $250 million cut, and UW-Madison could separate from the UW system and become its own entity. There's also money in the proposed budget to study whether a UW-Milwaukee spinoff is feasible. We'll address these and other related topics in this hour of Newsmakers. But we begin with UW-La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao, who discusses what all this could mean for UWL financially and academically. First, Gao breaks the news today with his announcement that he will not be taking a position with State University of New York, New Paltz.
I'm often asked about my future plans at the State University of New York at New Paltz, which is a wonderful school outside of New York City. And I visited there, and I visited with the leadership of the SUNY system, and they haven't made me an offer yet. They're still talking about that. But I'm really coming to the conclusion that that wouldn't be something right for me. I mean, I think I've been, you know, pretty lucky and pretty effective here at UWL, and I don't know that I could do better at SUNY New Paltz. But for now, I am letting them know that I'm just, you know, thanks, but it's not really the right one.
So let's turn now to the rest of our agenda, the proposed state budget and its potential impact on the UW system and specifically UW-La Crosse. Let's begin with what your thoughts are on what this could mean for higher education in Wisconsin.
It's the latest in a long series of cuts in state funding. And I guess I want to be careful to say I understand why that has been happening. There are other things that the state spends money on, in particular healthcare and K-12 education, that keep rising in cost and the desire to keep taxes down. And so there's just less money to go around. And I don't think it's because anybody, you know, doesn't appreciate higher ed, but when they look at what they're going to cut, they've tended to cut us, and that happened under Governor Jim Doyle, and now it will happen under Governor Scott Walker. I don't think it's really any one political party that says let's cut higher ed. It's just sort of the lesser of the evils, so to speak, that they're looking at. This latest round of cuts, it looks like $250 million to the UW system. For UWL, that's going to be, you know, about $8 million. Now, tuition will be used to offset some of it, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that. But just to give you a sense, every 1% rise in tuition is worth $7 million for the UW system. That's the entire system. So the governor says raise tuition, you know, no more than 5.5%. If we do the 5.5%, that would generate about $38 million. But the cut is $250 million. So as you can see, the net impact of that is over $200 million lost, even with a rise in tuition. So this is getting pretty difficult to manage these kind of reductions.
And I've heard you before talk about tuition increases, and I think you've said in the past that you're not completely opposed to it. How do you feel about that at this point?
To be clear, raising tuition is the last thing we want to do. I mean, nobody wants to raise students' tuition. If in a perfect world, a higher education would be just like K-12, it would be free and you wouldn't have to pay. I mean, that would be my idea of an ideal society. Unfortunately, we're not in a perfect world or an ideal society. So when big cuts are made in the state share, we have to turn to tuition to try to protect what we have. And what we have are really outstanding faculty and staff who make this such a wonderful university here at UWL. We don't want to let those people go, so we ask the students to pay a little more in tuition. I think, you know, really when you consider it, it wouldn't serve the students very well to reduce the number of teachers. That means classes would get bigger, they'd get harder to get into, and it might take people longer to graduate. So they would end up paying more anyway, maybe even more than we're asking for in tuition increase. So tuition is something I think you know, there will be generations who will say, wow, when I went to school, we didn't have to pay very much. But in the future, it's probably going to be a bigger share that the students will pay. Having said that, we still believe, and I see it every day, that the money that students invest in their education through tuition, they get back, you know, many, many times when they go out and get a great job because they got a wonderful education here at UWL. So it's still a very good investment. And thankfully, there are lots of financial aid programs, lots of loan programs. Really, anybody who wants to go to college or university today can do it. They might not be able to go to their first choice, but there are options available for everybody.
So going back to the projected cuts, you said that it looks like $8 million could be cut from UWL's budget. Have the discussions begun within your inner circle as to what those cuts could mean and maybe certain areas that would be affected?
Well, okay, $8 million. And then we look at the tuition
and
increase.
And then the tuition,
so
sure.
You bring it down really to about, you know, $3-4 million over the biennium. So that's 2 years. We have anticipated this, and we have a really fantastic Vice Chancellor for Administration and Finance, Bob Hetzel, who has done this many, many times. And so long ago, we said, you know, this budget isn't looking very good. And so let's start planning for another big cut. And so we've managed our money very carefully to try to anticipate it. So the good news is that we feel we can make the cuts without laying anybody off. The harder news is that we will have to make some changes in what we do. And some of that, you know, are things that, you know, it's not immediately detrimental, but over time you wish you didn't have to do it. I mean, I'm talking about, like, maybe we don't have as much cleaning of our buildings. Maybe we don't replace our computers as often as we want to or need to. We can't support travel for our faculty and staff for their professional development and activities. You know, those kind of things that, you know, you might not see right away, but they do have a you know, negative impact.
And 2 years ago, I guess there were cuts that had to be made to two men's sports programs, the baseball and the tennis teams, and that was used as a way to help balance the budget. And they have continued due to donations. So do you see any possibilities of having to eliminate other programs, maybe like that, sports, academic?
I wouldn't want to do that again. And yeah, we've been very fortunate that donors have come forward, and they're very generous and wonderful people to support those sports. That wasn't what we planned, and I certainly wouldn't want to have to rely on private funding, so to speak, for all our sports. You know, those programs are vitally important, and I don't think we would want to turn to that again in the current cutting.
And obviously, the financial situation isn't on the ups right now, but do you see a day when maybe UWL could support the baseball and tennis teams again?
You know, it's hard to say, and people have asked me that. And I mean, it would take a real rejuvenation of state funding and, you know, maybe higher fees for students, because they do pay student fees that go to things like athletics. And I'm just not sure whether those things are going to happen. I mean, it would be nice to be able to have the monies, but it's hard to say right now.
So I'm curious what all of this means for the Quality, Growth, and Access Plan.
Well, Growth, Quality, and Access was a tuition increase that we received approval for through the Board of Regents just for UWL. $1,000 more a year, and we phased it in, and we used that money to hire 75 more faculty and 20 more staff. So it's been very important for the university. And the nice thing is, you know, the students understood, you know, they're going to pay a higher tuition, but they're going to get more in terms of their experience. And enrollment has gone up under that scenario. That money right now gives us a bit of a cushion against these big cuts. And how that works is we could do more hiring, but what we'll do is hold back on it and utilize some of those monies to offset the state cuts so that we can keep the people that we've already hired.
So has there been any talks as to, you know, at what point do we start using this money to hire more teachers?
Well, there's some people who say they'd like to do it right now and try to find the cut money in other areas. We've looked at that. It's just, boy, that gets very difficult to go out and find, you know, $1 million, $2 million. I mean, this is a very lean operation that we run. And so I mean, if there were good ideas about that, we'd certainly look at them. And we have people exploring all that. But so far, there hasn't been anything put forward.
You're listening to Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guest today is Joe Gao, the Chancellor of UW La Crosse. So I want to talk with you about the possible demerger of parts of the UW system. If a UW-Madison spinoff were to occur from this system, how would this affect higher education within the state? And then we can talk maybe more specifically about how it'll affect UWL.
I don't think anybody can say how it will affect higher education because it would put us in a situation we haven't been in before. I know that, you know, before the merger, as they say, back in the early 70s, there was a separate University of Wisconsin and a separate Wisconsin State Colleges and Universities. But if Madison, just on its own, were not in the UW system, that'd be a new look to this. And my thinking on this has been evolving because I'm all for helping campuses get what are called flexibilities, which really means, you know, the ability to do a lot of the business processes that we do without having to get legislative approval. So when Madison said they were looking at that, I thought, well, that's a nice thing for them, and hopefully we would get it too. And now it looks like we've found a way to do that. There's a proposal called the Wisconsin Idea Partnership that is coming out very soon from the UW system, and some of us chancellors have worked on it to say, well, the kind of things that Madison wants, let's give everybody those. And so I don't know how the governor will respond to that or the legislators, but maybe there is a way to do this without having Madison leave the system. And the thing that doesn't get talked about very much, Madison leaving the system means it would have its own board of governors and it would not be under the UW system board. And we don't, our campus, we're not saying we want a separate board just for UWL, you know. So I think that's why it's a little challenging right now, because what Madison wants to do would erode the board. What we would like to do would keep it intact. So obviously we think that's a better thing.
I'm wondering if you can talk a little more about the Wisconsin Idea.
Well, what that would look like, the Wisconsin Idea Partnership, would be each campus would have the ability to spend the money it gets from the state in the ways that it seems most appropriate. Right now, the money's come and they're earmarked for specific purposes, and we can't change that. So if we find that, you know, we have a surplus in one area and a shortage in another, we don't have the ability to move the money around. So we'd like to be able to do that. Also, another big one is to be able to have tuition set for UWL where we think it ought to be, rather than have one price for all the schools. I think that would be really healthy. And then some of the things as far as how we pay our employees, how we buy things, you know, we would just have a lot more flexibility and autonomy to do that. And I think that'd be really healthy.
Because right now, do you have to go, is there a lot of board approval or system administration approval?
Well, a great example is just the other day, there was a story in the paper and it said UWL gets $10 million for parking ramp. That's not true. We've raised the $10 million on our own through our parking fees and fines, and now we want to use it to build a ramp. Well, this is what I'm talking about. To do that, we have to go and get state approval to spend our own money in the way that we think is best. You know, that seems very cumbersome. And you know, when you talk about red tape, there you are. And I think even the legislators would probably rather not have everything that we do come before them and take up all their time, you know. So that's a great example of a flexibility, the ability to do your own construction projects if you have your own money. Why not? You know, and see, this is the big thing for Madison. They can raise so much money that they would like to be able to do it on their own. Our stadium here at UWL, that's how we would have done it if we had the flexibility. We would just raise the money and build it the way we want to. Instead, it's a Department of State facilities project, Department of Administration. And there's, you know, they're great agencies and the people that run them are very friendly to us, but I'm sure they have a lot of other things that they would want to be doing. So, you know, I would hope that people would say, yeah, this makes sense to give the campuses more autonomy and flexibility.
So that budget that Governor Walker released that said that UWL could build the parking ramp and also I think it was $2 million for a police station. So that was all money that you all had raised, and then he finally approved, and then obviously it needs legislative approval.
The technical term is enumerated, and that what that means is it's included in the budget, and if you get real technical, that money is called program revenue, PR, which is distinct from GPR, which is general purpose revenue. That's the state money, and they've been generous there. I don't want people to think I'm being overly critical. I mean, our new academic building, you know, like $36-39 million, I'd have to look at our figures, of that is all state general purpose revenue money, and we're very grateful for that and thankful.
And then can you talk about the new police station?
The police station that we have now is in a small building that is really reaching the end of its useful life. And so what we'd like to do and plan to do is to put the new police offices and police station in the parking ramp that we're going to build so that it'll be a very efficient use of the space. And so that's what we're going to go ahead and do.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Joe Gao, the Chancellor of UW-La Crosse. So I want to go back to the possible UW-Madison spinoff. How would that affect certain operations here at UWL, whether it be research, interlibrary loan, transfer credits? I mean, has there been any talk about what that would mean?
You know, that's the thing that's hard to know, and I don't think that's been investigated. I think that proposal was written with an eye on what does Madison want and what would help them, and then sort of, well, we'll worry about the impact on everybody else later. And I understand that, but, you know, at some point you have to say, all right, what about the other schools in the system? What about the Board of Regents? You know, what does all that look like? And I've not really seen anything in the Madison plan that addresses it. The new plan that we're talking about, the Wisconsin Idea Partnership, does address all that. You know, we still collaborate and we still have a system. And, you know, so that's why I think that's a little more comfortable in terms of, you know, making a big decision about the future. It just seems a little unwise to move into something when you haven't fully thought out the implications for everybody. You know, there are more undergraduates at the schools in the congressional district here, UWL, Platteville, River Falls, Eau Claire, and Stout, than there are in Madison. So, you know, I think Madison gets a lot of attention, and it should. It's a great world-class university. But the rest of us, we play a pretty big role in the state as well. So hopefully that won't be overlooked.
What do you think it means for the morale of the UW system as a whole to have, you know, Madison potentially going and creating their own entity, and then, you know, even the thought of Milwaukee doing their own?
That's something that, you know, again, I don't know the full details what it would look like if Milwaukee did it. Now, see, Madison, you can say, well, they can raise a lot of their own money, and they have they have big demand to go there from out of state students and international students, and you know those students pay more. I mean, one of the things that people have said, and I don't know whether this would happen or not, but that Madison would change. Right now, there's a cap on 25% out of state and international. They would increase that, and so they could bring in more students and more revenue. Milwaukee, you know, they're like us. I mean, in the respect that most of the people we serve are from Wisconsin. And so if you gave Milwaukee that flexibility, I'm not so sure they could make up all the funding that they would lose from the state through things like more out-of-state students. So that it would be very interesting to see. And I read just the other day with a Milwaukee chancellor, interim chancellor, he is not in favor of the Madison plan and prefers the new one that UW System is putting out, the Wisconsin Idea Partnership. So,
because it just seems like there's a lot of pride in the system, and maybe I'm just observing that as an outsider, but just the idea that all these schools are in it together.
Well, one would hope that in the way that we collaborate with schools who aren't in the system, that Madison will always want to, I mean, it's interesting. If you go into a library anywhere on any campus, there are just certain values that people who staff that library have, and they're wonderful and they're very collaborative. And so I would hope that that would never change, regardless of what the governance structure looks like.
So how do you see the, I don't know if we want to say the financial situation for UWL, our academic situation, maybe a year, 3 years, 5 years down the line?
Well, I'm an optimist long term, and I really do believe the economy is going to recover. And what we want to make sure is that when we come out of this downturn, that the university, UWL, is stronger than ever. And people say, when I wear my pin or somebody wears a cap or shirt and it says UW La Crosse, wow, that's a great school. We don't want them to say that used to be great, but it went downhill. So we've got to work very hard to get through the tough times right now and avoid making decisions that do damage to the long-term academic reputation of our school. The other thing I think that has to happen is state funding being the way it is, we have to get realistic about that and say, well, now if the state cannot contribute at the share it once did, what does that mean in terms of tuition and how do you pay for the things we need to provide to our students? We have to have a very realistic conversation about that as well and get some clarity.
That's UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao talking today about what Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's proposed budget could mean for UWL and the UW system as a whole. Gao also affirmed today that he will not accept an offer from State University of New York, New Paltz, where he recently interviewed for a position. Coming up in the next half hour, an historical look at the UW system merger. We'll talk with UWL Vice Chancellor Emeritus Carl Wimberly and UWL political scientist Joe Heim about the benefits and disadvantages of the system and what breaking up the UW schools could mean. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.